Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The great prophet Isaiah, the fifth evangelist, as he's sometimes called, he declares to us tonight, "Arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you." The Apostle John says it this way, "In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." We heard those words on Christmas Day about our Lord's birth at Bethlehem. Today we hear of the Magi using the light of a new star, prophesied to be the sign of the birth of the newborn King of the Jews, using that star, that light, to find an even greater light, the light of the world, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, the Christ. Jesus himself says it this way, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Or later in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." St. Paul testifies that on the day of his conversion, Jesus appeared in light that was brighter than the sun. And he says elsewhere that the Gospel is that light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So much light. This is why we gather as Christians on this day, Epiphany, the revealing, the manifesting of our Lord. St. Paul declares about this revealing, this manifesting of Jesus, that God has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which has now been manifested, now been revealed, through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Light and life in immortality, the work of Jesus. That Isaiah declared it so long ago, that John did as well, Paul did, and our Lord himself did. Indeed, all of Scripture testifies to this great and glorious work of our God in Christ Jesus, the light of the world. The Scriptures also give testimony about darkness as well, that this is indeed the state of man since the fall into sin. Isaiah describes it in our text tonight as darkness over the earth, or thick darkness over the peoples. Indeed, the darkness of sin is over the world. Indeed, the thick darkness of unbelief is over the peoples. This is why so many people are blind. This is why, with this past year unraveling every single idolatrous anchor for trust for mankind, even though all of that has happened, churches are not overflowing with willing people wanting to hear of life. But you still have so many people with thick darkness, so many still dying slowly in fear of death, surrounded by that darkness, and even worse, having that thick darkness over their own hearts and minds, that the mind of an unbeliever will not even have a single flicker of light in it, but only darkness. This is evident all around us, even today, as so many false gods are clung to for help. But this is nothing new. God has done this before to expose our idols and so forth, that God has often brought disaster in order to cause people to wake up, to lose their trust in these false gods. And yet, still so many will remain asleep and in darkness. That's what's unfolding all around us. But among us, in our midst, it is different. Our God, He has chastised. He has pruned our vine. Everything that you think the world can offer for something sure, something you can put your trust in, something that you can depend upon like a God, you can't. That even now your sinful nature is inside of you wanting to preach something quite different, that is, there is some other things that you can trust, but it's a false hope. It's darkness. That Christ Jesus alone is light. Christ Jesus alone is the light of the world that no darkness can overcome, that the kingdoms of this world in all their power, and all their games, all of their attention seeking, they are not the light, nor can they give light. Christ is the light. He is the one to whom all nations will be drawn to from east and from west. He is the one typified today in the Magi coming from the east to worship this newborn king. That all mankind has the light amongst them. And some will indeed receive it. But others will reject it. Many others. As the Magi, the strangers from the east, come and worship. But to his own people, who knew where the Christ would be born, they stayed with their king in Jerusalem. Among the church, it is all light. It is all life. That just this week we had a funeral, but life still reigns with God's people. Because Christ is life. His kingdom is of life and light in immortality. Light, life, immortality. Put that thought in place of any fears that you have about your health, your financial stability, about the country's cultural rot, our country's falling into darkness greater and greater as Christianity disappears, about all those failed efforts and elections of men, those idols are not meant to consume you anymore. They are not light. And they will not bring life. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the life of the world. That means He is your light, and that means He is most certainly your life. Isaiah does something beautiful when he calls the light your light. He uses that possessive pronoun, which in the Scriptures, when you see it, is beautiful because it means something of faith. That by faith you possess this light. It's yours. That it comes from Christ and it goes out then. It comes to you, you possess it by faith, and then that light goes out from you. That this is Christ and the good news of Christ. And that light draws men out of darkness and into Christ's marvelous light. that Isaiah prophesied the Gentiles would come to believe in Jesus. And indeed, so many have through history. In the same way that many Jews were called to do. And as that has happened, the people of God may rejoice and be thrilled about it. As one by one, people convert and believe in Christ as the true light, that heaven itself rejoices over the repentance of one sinner. And thus we must ask ourselves the question, when we think of somebody repenting, of converting, does it thrill us like Isaiah says it would? And again, here idolatries come to play, and they seek to dim, to turn down the light of Christ as it's supposed to be reflected out onto the people around us in this life. That the reflective question needs to be asked, when's the last time you spoke to someone of Christ? You know all about the darkness in this world. We've seen it yet again today. These actions aren't actions of Christians. But the only way to improve them is to give them the light and life of the world that is Christ. When's the last time you invited someone to hear the word of the Lord? That the light of God would shine upon them. That they themselves would come out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. But what, is it too hard for us to do? Are we worried about upsetting someone? Are we afraid of the consequences? Well, without the gospel light being shown in our land, we know what's happening. We see it. But what of the light? What of the person who needs to be shown the light? There is nothing else. No other message, no other agenda, nothing else in all creation that can bring such light and life. And this past year has taught us how desperate people are for life. But in their darkness, in their blindness, they just don't understand the true light is not meant for just this temporal life, but for an eternal life. But this is the light you have. This is the light Christ has shone on you. It is the light you can be thrilled and rejoice in. It is now the life that you have. Because though you have sins, and though your idolatries show up from time to time, and yes, they keep coming up, and they keep sneaking around your heart and your mind, trying to claim devotion here and there with this situation or that. God's is still the light. And He's still striking down those idols. He is still shining into that darkness, and He is still bringing you life by the gospel of the forgiveness of your sins in Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. He Himself said it. And He said that when He is lifted up, He will draw all men unto Himself. And He's speaking of His own crucifixion here. That the light being lifted up to shine light on all around Him is the crucified Jesus. The light which reveals sin and darkness and death is also the light which defeats sin by forgiveness. The light which destroys darkness by giving faith in Jesus. The light which puts death to death by the resurrection of Jesus. That Christ has put away sin, He has put away death, and He has put away the devil. And that this light of His salvation, the glory of our God, comes by the preaching of the word to defeat all of that unbelief, all of that utter thick darkness, to destroy the darkness of men's fallen minds and their spiritual ignorance. Christ is the light and the life for you. And that Christ is meant to be the light and life for all. That this is the message of Epiphany. That Jesus is for all. And so as His children, as His people, rejoice and be thrilled. As Isaiah says, arise and shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has been revealed. The salvation of the Lord is yours, and it is meant for all people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise.